getting close, though, to the end of these things. This thing. Position. And we're going to talk a little bit about David tonight. As you know, I mentioned to you before, we read, and as you get to the end of 2 Samuel, everything is out of any kind of chronological order. I mean, it still makes sense as far as the way you're reading it, but it's not in any kind of real this, then this. It is an accumulation of some things. And chapter 22 is really a song. I mean, that's all that it is. It is one of David's songs that he has written. And in that, it correlates, I'll say, to the 18th Psalm in the book of Psalms. Now, the reason I say it correlates to it, it's not exactly the same thing. And somebody explained it like this. They say David had this version that is written in 2 Samuel chapter 22, the entirety of the chapter. And then if you look at the 18th Psalm, it's not exactly, not word for word, not exactly the same thing. So have y'all ever done that? You ever, I'm a music writer or anything, but I have seen songs that people have tinkered with, okay? And they said, well, you know, this occasion, maybe we can change this wording to this, and it fits this occasion for this with these words better or whatever. So that's what they kind of feel like David did. In other words, he had his own personal version, and then he had a studio version. Or, as somebody said, it was a sanctuary version in the book of the Psalms. It was fit for singing at church, but the other was just more or less something that just poured out of his heart. And that's what we've got in chapter number 22. So we're going to read just a little bit. It is 51 verses, and I don't know if we'll get through all of it tonight. We'll just have to kind of look at it and be sensitive to the time. But I want you to go start with me, if you will, in chapter number 22 of the book of 2 Samuel. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. And there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed down the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. And he said, through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the seas appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for the words and for the word of God and for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for all these that are here tonight. And I just pray you'd be a blessing in our study. Help us to see you. Help us to lift you and glorify you and give you praise and worship for everything that you do for all of us. We certainly love you, and we want to magnify your name above everything else and proclaim your word now. Just be a blessing. Everything said and done tonight, and again, we'll give you praise. Burden our hearts for those that are lost. Help us to see them as souls headed for hell and that they need salvation that can only come from you. And we'll thank you again, and we'll give you worship from our hearts and praise from our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want you to look at this. I said this is the song, and we'll call this tonight summary in a song. The summary. David summarizes many things that God has done for him, and he does so in a song. And, you know, that's a lot of times you hear a song, a secular or a song that you listen to from somebody here in this world, and they tell you some kind of little story. Well, that's what David has done here in this psalm, is that he's talked about the things that God has done for him. Amen? And I tell you, as far as that very thought goes, it's this. Hey, that's what you and I need to be telling folks that are lost and that come around and that you get a chance to just talk with them. You need to tell them, I can tell you what God's done for me. Amen? And particularly, listen to what it says there in verse number 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day, listen, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, this song, and as I say, Psalm 18, seems to have been written before the events in 2 Samuel chapter number 11 in the affair with Bathsheba. It seems to have been. I don't know that. Don't know it for sure, but it from all appearances and all the wording and all the things that are said, David was younger when he wrote this song. And, you know, there's a lot of things happened, and of course you're going to read more about that and look at some of those things. But David summarizes some of the things, and he talks about how that God, he says, how that he delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. I want you to notice something with me, if you will. Just in that statement that David has written this, then David is writing about his enemies. But I want you to notice he separates the name of Saul when he mentions his enemies. What does that tell you? That tells me that David did not consider to belittle or look down upon or classify Saul with his enemies. Because if you remember, we've studied it. Every time something would come up, some of his men say, hey, David, you got an opportunity to kill him. I'll go kill him. We'll take care of Saul. And he'd say, don't put your hand on the Lord's anointed. He always separated Saul from everything else. Now, Saul was certainly, as far as me and you looking at, he was an enemy to David. He was after David. He wanted David dead. He tried to kill him several times. But I'm telling you, David was such a man after God's own heart that he wouldn't even name Saul as one of his enemies. He said, I want you to know God delivered me out of my hand of my enemy, and God delivered me out of the hand of Saul. I mean, he said, that's a whole separate thing. And I'm telling you, that just shows us that kind of integrity that David had as a man after God's own heart. So here's David singing this song. Now, I want you to look at this. We'll look at it. And as I say this, it might get a little lengthy, so we might chop part of it now and get part of it later. But first of all, I want you to notice this song. Let's look at what this song is. First of all, I think you can see and agree that this song is a song of God's praise. Amen? I mean, that's what most of the Psalms, the majority of the Psalms, the Psalms are many times they are prayers. Many times they are just songs from the heart. Sometimes they are dirges and sad songs and, you know, it's like, woe is me and what's going to happen. But it's always somewhere along the line. Hey, the idea is, let's just praise the Lord. Amen? You know how that the book of the Psalms starts out with Psalm number 1, and Psalm number 1 talks about blessed is the man, and then, you know, that those few six short verses there, the way of blessedness is told to us by the man that takes the Word of God and listens to it and meditates upon it, hides it in his heart, and then he is fruitful in his life because of it. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he shall bear his fruit in his season. And, you know, all those things that he mentioned about the godly and the ungodly. It starts out with praise for the blessed man, how that God blesses man. And you know how it ends up? The last five psalms say what? Praise ye the Lord. All five. So the book of Psalms starts in praise. It ends in praise. And as I say, scattered throughout it, there is praise. And this is, as I say, Psalm 18. David again says, can I just praise the Lord? And you know, there's a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons, a lot of different times and seasons that you and I can praise the Lord. Amen? So David says, can I just tell you about some of this thing? Amen? I mean, you think about even the situation that this whole book of 1 and 2 Samuel. Here are two books, 1 and 2 Samuel. And Warren Wiersbe said this, these are two books that are talk about bloodshed, and they talk about burdens, and they talk about problems. He said, but those two books are bracketed by praise. You look in chapter number 2 of 1 Samuel, and there's a little girl there by the name of Hannah. And God grants her desire to have a child. And when he does, she sings a song unto the Lord and blesses his holy name. Amen. And then at the end of this, not quite at the very numerical end as we see, but close enough here, chapter 22, David says, can I just praise him? Hannah might have praised him for what he did in her life. I'm going to praise him for what he's done in my life. So you know what that tells me? Man, you ought to praise him for what it does in our lives. Amen? Well, have a little bit of praise in there for what God's doing, what he's done. And I'm telling you, you even think about what he could do. Amen. And just praise him for that. So it's a song of praise. This is a song of praise. It's something, man, it ought to stir you up. It ought to do something for you. I'm just telling you, the emphasis of this song that David says here in this little psalm or psalm 18, it is God's mercy and grace. God, as I told you Sunday, God's been good to me. Amen. And you can certainly say that. Every one of us could say that tonight. God's been good to us. Amen. God's been good to me. You remember in the Psalms, one of the psalm that Asaph wrote, and Asaph said this, that the Lord is good unto Israel. Amen. But that next verse says, but as for me. Oh, he began to think about some things that was going on with him. He said, my feet were, in our day, he said, my feet almost slipped out from under me because of some things that I let get into my thinking. Amen? And he began to consider how that the wicked in this world were blessed. But you know what he says finally in that? He talks about how that, you know, they don't have any, it doesn't look like they ever have any problems, doesn't look like they ever run out of money, doesn't ever look like they get in trouble for what they do. And he comes down to it and he said, man, it's just about too much for me. He said, until I went down to the house of God. He said, when I went in to the house of the Lord, then understood I their end. Ooh, I figured out what was going to happen to them then. And then he began to talk about how that, you know, he said how foolish I was thinking all that stuff and worrying about that and letting that bother me. He said, because I can tell you this. He said, Lord, you're ever with me. Woo, hallelujah, you've been good to me, God. You've been good to me. You took care of me. So I want you to realize, man, this is a song about God's praise. But first of all, look at this and notice that this praise, as we talk about this song, David gives us a description. He gives us a description of his God, a description of David's God. Listen to what he says. Verse number 2. And he said, this is David speaking to the Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. He said, thou savest me from violence. Amen. He said, can I just tell y'all about who my God is? Can I just give you a little descriptive wording about the God that has done so much for me? He goes through with some real wording here and tells you about how good God is too. He said, he's my rock. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Hey, Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And it's the rock of Christ Jesus himself. David's already told us, the Lord's my rock. Amen. He's what I'm building on. There is nothing. There's no other foundation. There's nothing else that'll stand. He's my rock, David said. I want you to notice the pronoun. He says, my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. In that description, he said, can I tell you who he is to me personally? He's all of those things to me. And buddy, can I tell you, he's all of those things to David. He should surely be all of those things to me and you. And probably much more. But isn't it nice to have that descriptive given of the Lord himself? David said, can I introduce y'all to my God? Amen. Do you know, I think that's part of our problem. You know, I told you here last week before, whatever it was, that the entire honor of our God lies in my and your hands. Amen? I mean, if God's going to get some honor, he's put it into my and your hands for this world to see. I mean, God's who he is, and God's great, and God's glorious, and God's magnificent. God's all of those things. But for somebody else to know it, you and me got to speak up. I mean, it's in your hand. God said, well here's what it is. But what are you going to do? David said, I'm going to write it down and make a song about it. I'm going to tell them who you are to me. Amen. I'm just going to praise you a little bit. I'm just going to describe you. I'm going to give as best of the words that I can that tell everybody what you are to me. Amen. And I would ask you, what is he to you? What is he to you? You remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that? And they said, well, some say you're Jeremiah or Elias or one of the other prophets, somebody. And we don't. They say you're just this. And he said, but whom do you say that? And old Peter said, well, let me get my foot out of my mouth and I'm going to say something big time right. He said, hey, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For he said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed that to you. You won't know who he is to you till you have some kind of experience with him. Right? You have no idea who he is and what he is till he moves in and does something in your life. Amen? So, I mean, he gives a description of his God. But second of all, notice this. David does tell us about the distresses that he has. The distresses of David. You see there in verse number 4, he said, I'll call on the Lord. He who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, when the waves of death, listen to this situation he sounds like he's in. When the waves of death come past me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell come past me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Amen. What about that? I mean, he said, can I just tell you where I was? And you know, that sometimes how it is, people look on the outside, and they'll look at you and they'll say, what's wrong with them? That ain't that bad. It couldn't be that bad. They just don't know what you're fighting in here and in here and sometimes out there. I mean, things can weigh heavily. Things can impact you in a mighty way, in a mighty negative way, if you will. I mean, those things come after you. Listen to what he said. He said, waves of death come past me. I mean, it's like I was facing death, and it just came and came and came, like the waves of the ocean. Death was there. He said, not only that, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. I had fear in my life because of the ungodly. And I'll tell you something. It takes kind of a brave fella to admit some of this stuff, doesn't it? But David said, I'm going to tell y'all something. There was times when I was afraid. There was times when I felt like I was facing death. There were times, you ever get there? Oh, come on, guy. I know some of us men. Button that lip. Get that stern look. Don't ever. I'm just telling you, sometimes it comes. Amen? Sometimes it comes. Oh, listen. It's been there. And can I tell you something? The Lord knows it. So you might as well just fess up and say, preacher, I've been there too. I've been in times when fear hit me. You remember the disciples sailing on the ship with the Lord, and he says, we're going over to the other side. They're going over the country of the Gadarenes. And as they're on there, the Bible talks about the waves. A storm arises sudden, and the waves dash and fill the ship, and they're all, what? They're afraid. Isn't it amazing? You mean the disciples got afraid? Jesus was on the boat with them, and they got afraid. Amen? Jesus was with them many instances, and they got afraid. Why are you so fearful? He said. On more than one occasion. What are y'all afraid of? Isn't that amazing? I don't know anybody. I don't know very many people that don't have some kind of fear. And can I just tell you this? Sometimes fear is a healthy thing. I can remember one of my great nephews when he was very young. He was probably 3 years plus. Y'all know what? Anybody say amen about a three-year-old, okay? And, man, I told his mom and daddy, I said, that boy ain't afraid of nothing. I mean, you'd see him, he'd pull the drawers out in the bedroom, and he'd climb up a chest, and he'd get on top of it. And I'd think, son, you're going to die. That thing's going to fall. He didn't care. He'd crawl. He'd get in the kitchen, crawl up on the countertop, open the cabinets, climb in there. I mean, he just didn't scare. And I'd go in there, and I'd hide behind something, and I'd say, boo! And he'd just laugh and run. You couldn't scare him. Now, I think he's gotten over that a little bit now. He's kind of grown up, and I reckon some scare got in him. But I'm just telling you, there are some little kids like that. But I don't know very many adults that something doesn't bring fear. I can tell you something. Go to the doctor sometime, and they start saying, there's something wrong with your report. I can guarantee you that there'll be a little gasp and a draw in of your breath for over some of those things they may say. Or you get that letter, you go out to your mailbox and there's a letter out there and it says IRS. Somebody say hallelujah right there. That might cause a little distress. Amen. We got one the other day and my wife looked at me and she said, what do they want? And I said, I don't know, but we're going to find out. They sent me money back. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Whew. That got rid of that fear. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things that happen that bring us fear. There's many things that happen. And we get fearful. And David, you see, I mean, you can just hear. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. They were right there before. I mean, it's just like it was right there. I mean, brother, can you imagine? Now, I've never really had anything like that, but I've been around a lot of folks when they died. And I want to tell you, it does something to you. It pulls you down a notch or two, and it does and it brings some fear into your heart. Like me and Sister Lynn get together, and sometimes we rehash, and we probably shouldn't, but we talk about our spouses in those days when there was much pain and right before the time they died. And we talk, and I can tell you, our eyes fill with tears. There's a choke up among our throats. And I mean, it's there. And you understand it. And David said, that's where I was. That's where I was. I'm not ashamed to tell you, he said. There was fear. There was distress. There was some problem. So what does he say about that? He said, well, let me tell you about the deliverance of my God. Listen to what he said. Then the earth shook. All right, in my distress, he said, verse 7, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his ears. Amen. I'm telling you, he hears your cries. Look back at verse number 4 again. He said, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I mean, David is laying it out here, and look, he is saying this. He said, he's helped me before, and I believe he can help me again. Amen. He's been there in time past, and I believe that he'll be there with me when these things come at me again. Amen? I mean, that's what he said. And he's saying this in so many words. You can trust him. Amen? You can trust him. Aren't you glad there's somebody that you know? He said, in my distress, you know. He didn't say, I call 911. I know sometimes we do, and sometimes that's probably a smart thing. But he did call 911. I called upon the Lord. I dialed heaven's 911. And the Lord heard me. He picked up the phone, and he answered, and he heard my cry. Amen. He said, he did hear my voice out of his temple. Aren't you glad? Boy, hey, you... Mamas, y'all know, somebody was talking about this the other night, I think, we was at camp meeting. They said, hey, you can have a house full of mamas, and all of a sudden some little kid cries out, and I can guarantee you mama will stand up and said, I can name that tune in one note, amen? I mean, they know when it's there. They are absolutely able to tell what's going on. That's my baby. My baby needs me. My baby's hurting. My baby's got a problem. My baby's in distress. Buddy, they're up and out. Can I tell you, God hears our cry just like that. Amen. He's not sitting around on a lounge chair and saying, well, just take care of, do the best you can, whatever happened. No, sir. He said, look, I'll call on him who's worthy to be praised. He said, in my distress, I called upon him, and I cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry entered into his ears. He heard me. Amen. Aren't you glad he hears you? Woo, I'm glad he hears me. Hey, he knows me. He knows who I am. Amen. I remember one time hearing Jack Hiles talk about when he was a young preacher and he was down in Texas, and he said he had a little old bitty church and nothing was happening. And he was all kinds of, you know, full of zip, zam, zow, and swoosh. He was all wound up and, you know, preaching. And he said one day he just went outside and he looked at him and he said, God, this is Jack down here. He said, have you forgotten me? You know, this is me, and I need you. Amen. Can I tell you, sometimes we feel like that. We do feel that way. But I'm glad to report to you, God hears your cries. Amen. There's a song, I think it was popular here a while back, that said, your cries have awoken the master. Amen. Can I tell you, when you cry out, he hears you, and he's ready to do something for you. He's ready. So David's deliverance, he talks about his God bringing some deliverance to him, and he says, he hears my cry. Okay? So secondly, I want you to look at this with me, if you will. It's not only a song of praise, of God's praise, it's a song of God's provoking. Can I tell you something? Woo! You don't want to make that woman over there mad about me. Okay? I mean, you can probably come tell me some things, say some things, and it'd be all right. But if you tell her, she get kind of mad. Mm-hmm. She might get upset. She might tell you some things you don't want to hear. Right? I mean, you let any parent in here, when somebody starts picking on your kids, when somebody starts grabbing your young ones, when somebody starts doing something to your little ones, and hey, and you ain't agreeing, hey, they better look out. Something's headed that way, right? And it ain't good. Amen. It ain't going to be good. Listen to what it says in verse number 8. David talks about God's provoking. First of all, he talks about God's anger. He says, then, after I cried out, he heard me. He said, then the earth shook and trembled. I mean, this is God's response to David's cry. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. You just done made God mad now. You picked on one of his little children, and God has started to get up and move. Heaven shaking, God bringing an earthquake to the foundation of this world. He begins to move in aid to one of his little ones. Amen? Isn't that what he's saying? Hey, Jesus said it'd be better for some folks if a millstone was hung around their neck and they went down to the depths of the sea rather than to harm one of God's little children. Amen. I'm just telling you. You know, we do live in a world where people are not fearful of the Lord nor of his retributions or his anger or any. They're just not. But I'm afraid one of these days now, may not be here, and sometimes it is here, but one of these days, they're going to stand and face him and give an account of those things. One of these days. But I'm telling you, you see, look there in verse number 9. He said, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. God's a breathing fire, folks. Well, that's a scary place to be when you know God's got so angry. David describes it this way. Smoke came out of his nose. Amen. And fire out of his mouth devoured. And coals, the coals. The wood was set on fire and the coals were kindled by the anger of God. Boy, when you get God and his anger and things begin to burn in his presence, I don't want to be there, do you? I sure don't want to be there. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter number 6? And he talked about how that he was there and he saw the Lord high and lifted up and the smoke filled the temple and there was the moving of the doorposts and all those things that happened. And he saw those angels up there crying, holy, 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 and all of those things. And then he said, all he could do is say, woe is me. I'm in a bad shape. I'm in a horrible place in my life. I'm unworthy. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. He said, and then an angel came down. What did he grab? A coal of fire off of the altar. He found a pair of tongs and picked it up and put it on. He said, he touched my lips. Amen. He said, now you're clean. Woo, God can burn. And I'm thankful he can burn some things out of us. But if he don't burn it out of you, you'll burn up in it. Amen? I'm just telling you. And you don't want that. He talks about God's anger. And certainly, you know, a lot of folks are, God's love, God's peace, God don't do. You better go back and read your Bible. God has been stirred to a place of anger where he stands for those that are his. Amen? He'll do that. So this is a psalm that David has written about God's provoking, and he's provoked to anger. Don't you notice he doesn't stop there? Look at God's advancing. He says in verse number 10, he bowed the heavens also. God said, I'm not staying here, I'm coming down there. And came down, and darkness was under his feet. That's not a fearful thought, a fearful sight. He said, darkness was under his feet. And God is coming down to where all of this commotion is. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about it, dark waters and thick clouds in the sky. He said, through the brightness before him were coals of fire. Can I tell you, that's a pretty scary place to be. He said, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them, and the channels of the sea appeared, and foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Woo, all God's got to do sometimes is look and come down and breathe. and just blow a little bit. And son, he can stir up something that you can't do a thing in the world about. Amen? I mean, you can't do anything about it. Man, there's been folks throughout the biblical ages in the Old Testament tried to withstand and stand up against God. And you know what? He cut them down every time. Amen? I mean, you think about men like Pharaoh. Every time Moses said, God said, let my people go, I'm not going to let them go. And then he would bring in some plague. And then Pharaoh changed his mind, and he changed his mind again. And I mean, they're just all kinds of stuff. And finally, God said, hey, you know what? I'm tired of him. I'm getting rid of this dude. Amen. Huh? And he's able to do that because of who he is. He can advance on the situation. That's what David says. He can bring darkness. He can bring light. He can bring fire. He can thunder from heaven. He can send out arrows. He can scatter them. There's lightning. And he can just shake up everybody with anything any way he wants to. Amen? You remember, we've read a few times through here. And if you remember most recently, when Absalom and his men were in the woods in the combat with David's men, and it said that the wood, that's talking about the woods, is what you mean you'd say, the wood devoured more of them than the sword. What does that mean? That means God had something out there it took care of. What was it? I don't know. But you know what? I don't want to know. Amen. I ain't getting in that place. I'm staying away from that. I want to stay on God's good side, because when you get him fired up, he'll get rid of whoever he has to get rid of. You remember how they got fired up against Moses? And a group of them said, come over here. We're going to stand against Moses. And God said, y'all just stand there. And he opened the earth up and swallowed them whole while they were alive. What I'm saying is, you don't want none of that. You don't want God to get angry. You don't want God to start advancing. But what we really want, look if you will, at this last thing right here, and we'll probably close up with this and come back next week with a little bit more. But notice, if you will, in verse number 17, God's advocacy. He said, he sent from above. He took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad of that? God can be an advocate for you in your time of need. That's what David is saying. Look how he describes that. He said he sent from above. He's looking. He's overhead. He knows what's going on. He sent from above. He took me. And he drew me out of those places where the waves almost dashed. Where the drowning almost took place. He pulled me out of those waters. David wrote in another psalm, didn't he? And said, I was in a horrible pit, but he heard my cry. And he came to, he picked me up. And his old brother Berman Cape said, he took me from the mire to the choir. Amen. Put me on a solid rock, established my going, put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Listen, he can become that advocate for me, and you see his advocacy. He talks about how that God came to him and drew him out. He said he delivered me from a strong enemy. Now, sometimes those enemies are strong. They're stronger than me and you. And from them that hated me. He said, for they were too strong for me. They're too strong for me. I cannot do it. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I can't do it. He said, I've had this thorn in my flesh, and I fought and wrestled, and I had 3 seasons of prayer, and I asked God to remove it, and God didn't remove it. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then Paul said, well, then most gladly will I therefore rejoice in my infirmity. He said, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Amen. When they're too strong for you, guess what? They're not too strong for him. Amen. I mean, listen. The Bible tells us that the archangel stood and faced Satan himself. And you know what he did when Satan was there? And he didn't say, well, I'm going to whoop you. I'm an angel and blah, blah, blah. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's the strongest thing he had. Amen? The strongest thing he had was a rebuke from the Lord himself. And, buddy, me and you've got that too. Amen? I mean, that's all we can do. I can't do it in me. I'm weak. But I'm glad when they're too strong for me, they're not going to overpower him. He said, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. God helped me to stay steady and stand. And then he said, he brought me forth also into a large place. Brought me out into a big, before I was in a confined place. I was in a tight squeeze. But he brought me out into a large place, he says. And he delivered me, listen, because he delighted in me. Woo! Aren't you glad of that? That God's delight is in his own children. Amen? Oh, listen. You know, I love a lot of other folks' kids too. But there's something about your kids that you just delight in them. I mean, you know, boy, look at that. My kid knocked that rock through that window. Boy, he's the best window breaker I know. Woo, hallelujah. You know, I mean, you know, stupid stuff like that sometimes that we do over our children. But, you know, man, we do foolish things. But aren't you glad that God delights over me and you? Even though sometimes we're in our childish minds and our childish ways and action, he still loves us. And he still delights. So, and let me tell you, when you do something, you come in and you just say, God, can I just worship you a while? And he is pleased. He is blessed. He is rejoicing. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Over me and you when we do whatever we do for him in honesty, truth, and sincerity. You remember what your Bible says? They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Amen. And when you do that, I believe he delights in us. When you live right and do right and want to do right and your heart's right, I believe he delights in all of those things in us as his children. Amen. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Well, like I say, we'll stop right there. There's a couple of more things we'll talk about in this song. Do that next time as we get together. But, man, I'm glad. David wrote this song for me and for you. Amen. I mean, isn't that a blessing? It's a song that, you know, just emphasizes God's goodness and a lot of the things of the nature of God. And, man, we just want to praise him and worship him as we ought to tonight. I mean, listen, David says, can I just give you a little song and summarize this whole thing that God's done for me? Amen. What he's done for me. Do you know what he's done for you? Has he done something for you? Does he need to do something for you?